This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. We might even say that the one thing that separates a saint from ordinary men is his readiness to be one with ordinary men. Now, that's a quote from G.K. Chesterton. He's talking about St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, a saint is the image of what spiritual life aims to achieve. A saint in Western religions is the role model. In Eastern traditions, they use different words, but all spiritual and religious practices have something like saints. When the first Puritan pilgrims arrived in New England, they called each other saints, so idealistic they were about who they were. What this opening quote says about what separates saints from the rest of us is, and it's a quote from G.K. Chesterton, is that a saint does not try to be different, separate, from ordinary people. Saints don't try to be somebody over and above ordinary people. Saints are very democratic in that way. They are humble. Saints don't put on airs. You simply cannot imagine a saint bragging about himself or herself. Think of Joan of Arc, bold about God's message, but not about herself. Can you imagine Jesus boasting about how different, better he was from everyone else? And of course, along with just how honest he really was, Abraham Lincoln was just about as common and ordinary a person as one can imagine. His gifts were extraordinary, but the way he carried them was as if he was no one special. There is even a piece of music composed by Aaron Copland about Lincoln called Fanfare for the Common Man. Over the years, historians and writers have been more and more willing to show Lincoln's common and human ways. Recently in the movie Lincoln, we get to see him tell one of his famous so-called dirty jokes about an outhouse. But on the other hand, historians and writers have been reluctant to use the spiritual word saint for the obvious spiritual side of Lincoln, his truly saintly desire to be ordinary, to identify himself with the commonwealth, the people of this new country. Many of Lincoln's virtues, much of his motivation, and nearly all of his intentions can be collected under the one sacred canopy, his saintliness, his ordinary saintliness. We see this in the little events of his life, such as the evening that he left to attend the musical comedy at the Ford's Theater. On his way out, he turned to one of the White House guards who wanted to accompany him and said he knew the guard had been on duty some long hours and he must be tired. So go home and rest, was what Abraham Lincoln said to him. Such little kindnesses radiated from Lincoln. You can be sure that that White House guard, William H. Crook, never forgot that fateful, momentary kindness shown him on the early evening of April 14th, 1865. Earlier that day, Lincoln had signed a reprieve for a captured Confederate soldier, saying that he was more good to the nation alive than dead. Of course, his national policy was also one of charity without malice. He was not just saintly in little things. And the lives of religious saints can help us see clearly the life of such a secular saint as Lincoln. It was one such common man, saint, that our opening quote was referring to, the 13th century theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas. Both St. Thomas and Lincoln had a religious saint's attitude about money, about being rich, about greed. St. Thomas grew up in a very wealthy family, a powerful family in southern Italy, but he had no interest in weapons or in money. He shocked his family by leaving to become a friar, a monk, without a home, a holy beggar. Lincoln loved the idea that he could, as a boy with a ferry boat, make two shiny half dollars, beginning to free himself from servitude on the farm to his father. But Lincoln had no more money when he died in office than when he entered the White House. As a youth, he had walked miles one evening to restore a change wrongly made. He, as a railroad lawyer, returned a huge $5,000 check to a company he felt he had not really helped, and slavery, working for no pay, was as close to a sin as Lincoln could imagine. Aquinas took an oath, a drastic oath, for poverty as a revolt against plutocracy and pride. By the way, the afternoon that Lincoln signed the reprieve for the Confederate, before he eased the evening burden of the White House guard, he had lunch. He had his usual apple. Lincoln was the spirit of an ordinary man, and it is in being ordinary that a saint finds his or her true spiritual home. In such ordinary living, a saint like Lincoln can guide us, even now, down to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the Spiritual Life of Abraham Lincoln.